Welcome to the John Leonetti Show. Please hold while we connect your call.
Hey, I'm on the phone with Mike Aquilino right now, church historian. He's an expert in the church fathers and also angels, but I really dive deep into the church fathers with him today, asking him, what's the most underrated church father we have in the church today? Don't miss his answer. Like, subscribe, comment to this phone call. Get it out to as many friends as possible. Thanks for listening.
Press 1 to sponsor a call. Thank you for your support. Please leave your message after the beep.
My name is Steve Craig, and I'm a board member for the Nazareth Sisters of the Annunciation USA board that is supporting work of the Nazareth Sisters in Kenya. We're happy to sponsor this episode and hope that you'll work to find out more about the great work we're doing in Kenya. We're helping the sisters in building primary schools and stocking those schools. We're helping the sisters in healthcare where they run hospitals and clinics. There's one particular clinic in Tunyai, Kenya, a village of 15,000, where we built a dispensary, and now we're in the process of raising funds to build a small short-stay hospital. If you'd like to find out more about what we're doing, please go to our website, NazarethSisters.com, NazarethSisters.com. Thank you.
If you would like to sponsor one of our calls, email us at thejohnleonettishow@gmail.com. And now, for your listening pleasure, The John Leonetti Show, calling all Catholics. Enjoy.
Mike Aquilino.
John Leonetti.
How are we doing, my friend?
Doing great. How are you?
It's been a while. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, happy to take it, John.
Have you done a podcast on the phone yet like this? Like a phone conversation?
No, I have not.
So this is a first for you. I like this.
It is. Yeah.
So I want to talk. I debated with you because, you know, I only get you for a short time, and I'm diving into the knowledge of Mike Aquilino's brain here. And I was thinking like church fathers, angels. And then I was thinking to ask you, like, what interests you more? You got to pick one. The church fathers or the angels?
That's a hard question.
I know. I know. That's why I asked.
I'll go with the church fathers just because they're human. I have more connection with them. The angels are mysterious. They don't have bodies, you know. I take it all on faith, and I'm very grateful for the angels' work in my life. But, you know, I don't have that connection with them that I have with the fathers.
Well, now, you're not a convert, right?
No.
So you kind of like a lot of times you talk to converts and it's the church fathers that like move them into the church. Did you, did it like still move you into a deeper faith, or was it something that just, you know, you're like, I'm going to be a scholar in the church fathers?
Definitely. It moved me into a deeper faith. Huh? Yeah. You know, it was an attraction I already had to antiquity. You know, when I was a little boy, I wanted to be an archaeologist. I read this book about Heinrich Schliemann, the archaeologist, and I read about how he found the gold of Troy. You know, he used a lot of dynamite to do it. This was in the 1800s, right? And he does all these wild things, and it was an adventure story. And I wanted to live that kind of life. Later on, I found out that archaeological work is kind of boring. You know, you have to sit there with a toothbrush for weeks, you know, poking at the dirt, and you don't find anything at the end of weeks. But you know what? Reading the church fathers is a lot like archaeology. You know, I'm digging into these ancient texts, and I'm learning about the ancient world, and I'm meeting these people who lived long ago, and I'm finding spiritual gold. I'm making connections with people who lived a long time ago. I'm gaining an imaginative entry into the world of Jesus Christ and Saint Paul and all of those greats who were chosen by God, you know, and Jesus is God himself, and to live on this earth in certain circumstances and reveal the nature of God to us. So it's an exciting thing for me.
So elevator breaks down and someone says, why, Mike Aquilino, why should I even care about the early church fathers? There's so much goodness and richness in the church right now to me to focus on. Why go back?
It's very important for you to understand the world you're living in. And they made that world. Whether you like it or not, this is a Christian civilization. It was started by Christians. It was changed from the Roman Empire by Christians. So many of the things that you love were established by the church fathers. Things like human rights, human dignity, human equality, all these great ideas that you take for granted in civilization, the things that we use as marks of civilization. You need to know where they came from and why they came about. And you need to appreciate that, because you know what? If you don't, you're going to lose those things you love.
I like that. When people say church fathers, what tests do you have to pass to become like an official church father?
Well, you're one of the great teachers from the early church. And by early church, most scholars mean the first 8 centuries of Christian history. And there are 4 marks, soundness of doctrine, holiness of life, church approval in antiquity. So those 4 marks, if you can check those boxes, you're considered one of the church fathers.
So your favorite church father of all time, you get one.
St. Ignatius of Antioch.
Well, that was quick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Why? Yep. Why?
Well, he lived very close to the time of Jesus. So he knew many of the characters that you meet in the New Testament. You know, he probably knew them because he lived in Antioch.
Was it John he studied under?
That's according to tradition. It was John. Probably knew Peter as well. He was living in the place where the disciples were first called Christian. And he's this great figure because he left us 7 letters while he was on his way to his martyrdom. And in those letters, we see what it was like to live the faith in that first post-apostolic generation. These people who had been trained by the apostles, who had been trained by Jesus Christ. It's just a short step from the gospel to St. Ignatius of Antioch, and we can see what the life of faith was like. We can see what the life of the church was like, what it was like to live in a parish at that time, because he's just talking about ordinary business. He's not making arguments. He's not trying to change your mind about too much. He's just trying to talk about things as they are and write these chatty letters to 7 different recipients. So you get a window into that world that you would not otherwise have.
So most underrated church father, you get one.
That's a tough one. Marcus Minucius Felix. Marcus
who?
Minucius Felix. You right, exactly.
I've never heard of him a day in my life. I feel like I'm pretty good with the church fathers too.
Yeah, and you know what? I talked to many people about this, including scholars of the church fathers, and they say the same thing. But Marcus Minucius Felix was a layman from Africa who was working in Rome. We have one of his works, only one, and it's a memoir of a weekend that he spent on vacation with 2 other lawyers who were working in Rome. The 3 of them are on vacation, 3 laymen. And they have this conversation that lasts the whole weekend. Now, when they went to the resort, 2 of them were Christian. When they leave the resort, 3 of them are Christian, all
He's
3
one.
Of them. the third one was converted during the course of the weekend.
Nice.
What I love about that text is that it shows ordinary life, the ordinary life of the early Christians, and it shows how conversion happened. It shows how evangelization happened in that first generation. It happened due to the witness of ordinary people in their ordinary jobs talking to their colleagues. There was no special program for it. You know, it didn't involve, any kind of special secrets or anything like that, or any techniques. There was no elevator pitch. You're just there with your friends, and you are yourself, and you are a Christian, and that fact alone accounts for the conversion of this colleague of theirs. I believe that this is the way conversion happened. And what by conversion, I mean the conversion of the world in those early centuries. Marcus Minucius Felix wrote this book around 190 AD.
Dang, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Is there like any other scholarly publishings on this guy at all?
Well, you can read them online.
Yeah,
free.
Yeah.
I mean, the text is out there. And I wrote a book called Friendship and the Fathers, which really takes Marcus Minucius Felix as its starting point.
Nice. I like that. If you were to like, because you sit back and you see like, many different other denominations, and then you got Catholics and some of the Protestant denominations say, nope, scripture only, we don't need anyone else, any other teachings, any other writings, any other letters, anything like this. How do you respond to that?
Well, the church existed before the New Testament scriptures. You know, that's pretty clear from the New Testament scriptures, which describe the origins of the church, right? So this is something that's in the past. And it's the church that made a canon of the scriptures. You know, what were the legitimate scriptures? Those books that could be read in the context of the liturgy, the ritual public worship of the church. The scriptures were canonized. They were made into a book so that they could be read in the Mass, all right? So the church preceded scripture. That's pretty clear there. And when you look at the documents that we have from the earliest years of the church, Clement of Rome, we have his huge letter that he wrote to the Corinthians in around 67 AD, right? And so we have this account of the life of the church from that very early time. We have Ignatius's letters from 107 AD. So we could see how the disciples of the apostles themselves understood the life of the church and even the use of sacred scripture, because these early fathers knew the scriptures, at least the scriptures that were available to them, and they incorporated them into their teaching. So when we look at the lives of the first disciples, we see that they did not practice sola scriptura. They practiced the faith the way we see Catholics practicing it today.
How does Mike Aquilina spend his time outside of all this? All the beauty that you study, all the church history that you're steeped in, right? The writing, the speaking, but like, what do you do outside of all that?
Oh my, I love music. I listen to music. I love pizza. I eat pizza.
They have pizza in Pittsburgh. Where are you at? Pittsburgh, right?
Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Pizza in Pittsburgh,
yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, I often have to go back to my hometown for the good stuff, and that's about 5 hours away. But but pizza is important to me. You know, I love being with my friends. I love being with my family. I've got 6 kids and I've got 8 grandchildren right now, and I love spending time with them. So these are all the joys of creation. You know, the gifts that God has given me.
So what's next for you? What's the project?
I'm working on a book about the Archangel Michael and how he's treated in the Jewish pseudepigrapha, the intertestamental literature, and in the early rabbis. Also, how he's treated in the early works of the Coptic fathers, because this is profound stuff.
I want a free copy.
I'll put you on the list.
You're one of the best, brother. Before we let you go, how can we pray for you?
Oh my! Well, pray that I finish this book on Saint Michael, because it's late and my publisher wants it.
You're a good man, Mike Aquilina. I love you, brother. Thanks for coming on and being my guest.
Love you too, John.
We'll talk
anytime.
Soon. Bye bye.